I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I am super excited to have my next guest here. We have Rachel Ruff, who is the founder and CEO of an amazing skin brand called Urban Skin RX. And if you have not heard of this incredible brand, you definitely need to keep your eyes out for it and hopefully go ahead and order it right away. But like many beauty entrepreneurs, Rachel came up with the idea for her brand while living her life doing what she was doing. As a trained esthetician, she discovered that many of the treatments found in dermatology and aesthetics were not suited for darker skin tones. So she decided to fix that. So Rachel has taken an idea that she was passionate and curious about and turned it into a business with products that are excellent. And by the way, has gone way beyond just for darker skin tones too. I should mention that. And I'm incredibly excited to hear all about her journey of building this great, great company and also an incredible success that she had through TikTok. I know that people are always curious about how people are using these different platforms. And I found that really, really interesting. So without further ado, welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, totally. So, okay, well, before we get into hearing a little bit about, or a lot of bit about Urban Skin RX, I'd love to talk for a moment about what you were doing before this. Like, did you always know that you were going to be an entrepreneur? Did you sort of grow up thinking, okay, I'm going to be an esthetician? Where was, I guess, Rachel's head before you started this company?
Well, I started the company at 24. So now that I'm 41, I don't really remember too much about life before this. But yeah, overall, Urban Skin RX was initially a dream just for my own selfish reasons. I mean, I was plagued with a lot of skin issues from a young age, even as young as 1 year old, through my teens, even now. And, you know, when my mother took me to the dermatologist in California, where I was raised, who happened to have an esthetician in their office, and I started going to see the esthetician, you know, 25 years ago, just laying down in her treatment bed and having her work on my skin and sending me home with these products that were a lot more efficacious and drove stronger results than the drugstore products. I was just mesmerized and was like, gosh, I want to do something like this, you know, so I can be in an environment and have my hands easily access like all these tools and solutions to make myself feel like I can look and feel better. But then also wanting to help others in terms of getting into specializing in deeper skin tones. That was not necessarily part of my plan. I think I was pretty ignorant as a non-woman of color that there was this huge disparity in the skincare industry as it came to, you know, just accessibility for safe and efficacious treatments for, you know, concerns of darker skin. You know, it existed and still exists in dermatology, med spas, even sometimes holistic treatments. And so when I discovered that while living in Charlotte, North Carolina, going to esthetician school, which, you know, I would bring my friends in who were all different nationalities and different skin tones. And I noticed when I would bring somebody in with a deeper skin tone, it was just, you can't do this, you can't do that. They scar so easy. Be very cautious. But there wasn't, you know, a education or there wasn't really the research being done, at least in esthetician school, on how to do more corrective treatments. Because when somebody's dealing with dark marks or acne, you can't just massage their face with oils and think it's going to go away. It does take a more clinical approach, and people weren't willing to do those things, I think, for a couple different reasons. One, I mean, there's prejudice and ignorance and just the inability to, you know, want to cater to minorities. And then two, I think darker skin does scar a lot easier, and people just are scared, but it doesn't mean just because something's harder, you ignore it. And so that was really how I initially decided, hey, I really want to not just be an esthetician, but I want to make sure that my services specialize in, and it's terrible, it's even a specialty, but really letting people know, hey, I'm fully trained. I have lasers, modalities, equipment. The people that work for me are all trained on how to do, you know, very clinical solution oriented treatments on not just lighter skin, but darker skin.
So interesting. So what was your first product then that you started with?
Well, initially, you know, I opened my medical spa in 2006. I was carrying a lot of different brands, and the number one concern of my consumer was post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, which is dark marks due to an injury to the skin. That injury might be acne or an ingrown hair or a bug bite or your thighs rubbing together. And it seemed like I had to carry 10 different skincare lines to have kind of an assortment of products for their needs. A lot of brands really concentrated mostly on anti-aging or acne or smoothing. And so initially it was like there was that component, but then also I was very interested in franchising my medical spa. I never had a plan to build a mass retail skincare line. It was always initially just to kind of like grow my service concept. And so I was like, oh, this would be great if I didn't have to carry so many lines. I could develop my own line that catered more towards hyperpigmentation. Plus, as I franchise my med spa, my franchisees can all sell my skincare line, you know, and it was just, and that was really how it came about. And my Even Tone cleansing bar, which is still today our number one best-selling cleanser, was my first one I developed in 2010.
So how would you describe, like, what makes it so unique? I mean, you started in 2006. It's not, you didn't start yesterday. I mean, it's been able to grow and, you know, definitely be in the hands of more and more people. What is it that makes it so unique?
I mean, skincare has gotten so noisy since the pandemic. Like, everybody has entered into the skincare space. And it's not just celebrities, although it's a lot of celebrities, but I think people sat back and watched and read in the Wall Street Journal, read in all these like mass media outlets that like skincare was just booming. Valuations of skincare companies were like getting, you know, 8-9 times multiples, which are just unheard of. And so being this OG, it's like, there's now 10 brands for every niche. You know what I mean? So it's a different world. Do I 100% think that there's something special and unique about Urban Skin RX? Yes, I do. And I think that the hyperpigmentation angle is very interesting and unique. We have products for anti-aging. We have products for acne, but the majority of our products always have ingredients in them that are designed to keep your skin tone even toned, or it's designed to have ingredients in it to fade the look of discoloration. So if you're buying a product for anti-aging and firming, it's also paired with ingredients towards reducing inflammation and reducing hyperpigmentation. So I think there's that. I also think that, I mean, I can't speak for every other brand, but me being the formulator, when I took my brand from a spa higher priced brand to going into like Target and Walmart and Walgreens, you have a decision to make. And that is, are you going to reformulate to lower your cost of goods to, you know, create a better margin now that you're selling them for cheaper? And a lot of people think everything is just a volume play, that if once you create, you know, you're selling 50,000 of something, that you get it for that much cheaper. And there are large price breaks when you go from making 1,000 of something to 10,000. But from there on out, the percentage of savings really goes down dramatically. And I just have never compromised on what I put in my products. I mean, there are products I've launched that have very, very different margins than others. And not, and when I say very different, I mean not great, because for me, if I can't provide, you know, noticeable results, life-changing results for people, there goes my brand in general. You know, so for me, it's really results first and then pricing second when I build out a formula. And I don't think everybody does that.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think people start to skimp on the quality of the product, consumers eventually figure it out, right? And I think that that's really, really good to know. So being in the service business versus being in a physical products business is certainly different, right? And you've seen it firsthand. If there's somebody else out there in thinking about, you know, going into physical products, what is sort of the, you know, the most challenging part over the years when you think back of maybe something that you didn't know about that business?
Oh gosh. I mean, there's so much. I mean, I had an advantage, which was when I launched my skincare line, I had a demand, which is mm-hmm. rare. I already had a platform of, I was seeing, you know, 100 patients a day at my medical spa. We already had followers on wow. social media. And so I think that's, you know, a huge thing. If you are lucky enough or smart enough to have a good idea, make a good product, you then also have to figure out how to market it and how to grow demand. I really think that it's very, very important in this day and age to pay a lot of attention to branding. Branding has gone to a whole nother level. It is like creativity is just like, I mean, it's still hard to find, but there are very creative people out there. And if your product does not attract a consumer, they're not going to buy it either. So even if you bring the demand, but if it's not, the name doesn't resonate with somebody, the packaging doesn't, and people tend to, you know, because something appeals to them, they mm-hmm. think it's good enough. Or it appeals to their family and friends. And just don't forget, your family and friends are always going to be biased. You might not think that they are, but they might, you know, have more in common with you because we hang out with people in common with us. So they might like what you like, or they might not want to hurt your feelings. So I think it's very important to do like focus groups and surveys with people who have no skin in the game and be like, what do you think of this name? What do you think of this packaging? Because that's very, very important.
Yeah, definitely. Has your packaging changed significantly since the beginning?
Oh my God, 1,100 times. I have struggled so much with branding and packaging. Like, it's been the bane of my existence. Like, I did not invest properly with the right designers. Like, I was, you know, bootstrapping, dealing with a lot of like junior designers, which not to say there aren't some amazing junior designers out there, but your packaging can live on and on forever. Yeah. And once you get into retail, it can take a long time to cycle through old packaging, especially in lower performing doors. And so, oh my God, I have just been through the ringer, and so have my consumers with, I mean, I can't even count the amount of packaging changes we've had.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. So the product I develop, Hint, when we first came out, the label has slightly changed since when we first came out in 2005. But the biggest and most significant change that we made, I always wanted a label that was clear because my product was clear. And I thought, okay, we've got fruit that pops on, you know, the label and a clear label. And what I didn't realize was once it got on the grocery store shelves, I wasn't going to actually be controlling the lighting on the shelf or who I was going to be sitting next to. And it really makes a difference as to how you are seen by consumers when they're looking at a shelf. If you're next to a, you know, bright bottle of vitamin water, right? That is bright pink. And it's, and then you've got this clear label. It is, it's significant. And it wasn't until we actually were forced to change to a white label because that year in particular, they were out of stock on this clear label. And so we were not going to be able to have enough stock for Whole Foods. It was a whole thing. So we said, screw it, let's just do the white labels, and made that decision. And I mean, it was overnight. We 10x'd our sales. And again, like, it wasn't the design, actually. It was actually the material that it was on that made such a significant difference. And like, no designer actually said this to us. I mean, we just found it out by accident. So I'm sure you can relate to that.
Oh, I can relate. And like, as much as I love Urban Skin Rx, and it will always be my baby, and I continue to strive to make it better every day, like, I very much want to one day start another consumer good brand, because I've made so many mistakes, and it's like, I feel like I have the recipe now. Like, I have this like blueprint of like what you do, what you don't do. And a lot of I've beat myself up for 20 years about the mistakes that I've made. And I think it'd be very healing to apply these learnings to a new business.
Yeah. Well, and I found that you'll probably continue making mistakes. That's what great entrepreneurs do. Yeah. You know, they keep iterating along the way. So it's definitely a work in progress. So you recently started a men's line. Can you share a little bit about that? What was the inspiration behind that?
Yeah. So actually, at the beginning of my esthetician career, I really somehow ended up focusing a lot on men with severe, what we call pseudofolliculitis barbae on their neck, which is just a medical term for, you know, ingrown hairs. And I was working for a skin and laser center doing laser hair removal, and they happened to have a laser hair removal machine that worked on all skin tones, which I don't even think they knew that it did. And I was very underpaid, and I just ended up doing a series of treatments on a friend. He was a black man who had really bad ingrown hairs on his neck. And I took before and after pictures, and they were like astounding. And I was like, gosh, this is a really common condition with ethnic skin, because the hair is so coarse and so curly. And so I literally, because I was like, thought that this was a great service people didn't know about, I was incentivized to want to build a clientele because I had no clientele. I made like a flyer of this before and after picture and went to every barbershop in Charlotte. And I started developing like this male clientele and being known for ingrown hairs. And so Target has really put a lot of effort into building up kind of like the men's grooming section. And so talking with them after my success in the regular general skincare aisle, I felt that there was an opportunity for my brand to get shelf space in the men's section. And it was something I was already really passionate about because of this history. So the men's line really focuses on exfoliation, ingrown hairs, blemishes, clogged pores. And I stay very true to like letting people know that the only way to permanently get rid of ingrown hairs is through laser hair removal. But not everybody wants to, not everybody can afford to. And so here are other topical options that can really help with that as well.
That's amazing. So it's available now through Target
and our website. Yes.
That's great. So you had a TikTok moment. I touched on this when I was doing your intro a few years ago. Can you share a little bit more about that and how it really surprised you?
Yeah. So one day, my head of my e-com came to me and he said, did a celebrity post about us or something happen? Because our sales are like, you know, 10 times what they should be by this time of the day. And nobody could figure it out. And then later that day, we randomly got an email from a girl who said, "Hey, I just want to let you know, I posted my before and after pictures through a video on TikTok, and it's really quickly gone to like a couple million views." And she used our Eventone cleansing bar after 3 weeks, had taken this before and after picture, kind of made it into this tutorial. She did quote that she got the product at Sephora, which we don't even sell at Sephora. And she did something unique where she put hashtag 3 week clear skin challenge. And I don't know if it just from an algorithm standpoint ended up at the right moment on the Explore page, or TikTok was really big into challenges a few years ago. It just took off from there. And over the course of like the next 3 months, our sales, I think, were like 300% what they normally are.
Wow.
And it was a life-changing moment for the brand. I mean, the brand forever changed at that moment. Our brand awareness significantly changed, but it was also a lot of mistakes that I'm still having to clean up are coming from that moment. Like, there's a lot of pluses and minuses that come from viral moments that, you know, in the end, I still am happy it happened, you know, but of course, hindsight is always, you know, better. And I wish that there's a lot of things I knew now. Like, we went into like massive hiring. We just really put so much pressure to fulfill every single order. You can't really do your best when you're that just diluted and spread so thin. I don't think we clearly thought about how sustainable is this over the long run. Like, mm-hmm. Every retailer started coming to us wanting a piece of the business. We kind of said yes to everybody, but people expect that those sales go on forever, and that's not realistic or sustainable. And even though we had permanent growth, it wasn't ever to the level consistently that it was during those moments. And so it kind of just sets this vibe that you're never good enough again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there were hardships that came from it too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really, really interesting. I mean, definitely it was a major point on your timeline, but so what would you do differently?
I probably wouldn't have expanded so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think hiring and retail, I think I would have tried to just, but I was putting a lot of pressure on my team too. Like, everybody wanted us, from press to influencers to celebrities to retailers. And it was like, I was like, we have to fulfill every opportunity. Yeah. And that wasn't realistic. And so obviously it took a bigger team to do that. And I should have just made a decision like, hey, sometimes a little mystery is good. And sometimes, like, you just have to accept that that's not completely possible.
Totally. Yeah. No. And I think saying no at points along the way is also super important.
I think you have less regrets saying no than you do have saying yeses.
Yeah, definitely. We just had Connie Zach from Sunlighten Spas. I don't know if you know those infrared spas. They're amazing. And she talked about that, you know, she was actually, it was just on a short time ago. And she talked about, you know, she got a call from Dr. Oz, and Dr. Oz wanted her to get a spa on that they hadn't even made it. I mean, they had sort of like pre-talked about it, and then, you know, they had a lot of demand. And, you know, it's just the customer service experience was awful because they were like, oh, that's actually not made yet. And, you know, it's just hard. So,
yeah,
you know, she was really clear about that in the interview too, that don't be afraid to say no, right? Yeah. That it's, you know, we'll call you back when we have it in stock or whatever it is that you can say to keep people going. But I think it's such an important lesson. So how else have you gotten the word out about Urban Skin RX? I mean, obviously you started in your own facility doing, you know, with your own consumers.
A lot of my success came from owning my spa. And so when a lot of people look to me for mentorship for my skincare line, I let people know that my situation can't always be duplicated. Like, I was a celebrity esthetician. Like, I wasn't the celebrity, but I treated celebrities. And through building those authentic relationships, like, they would post about my skincare products for free, you know, because they genuinely mm-hmm. like them. And that is very hard to duplicate. You know what I mean? Or I would even trade people services for posting, being like, oh, well, this filler, this Botox, this laser is going to come up to $5,000. But hey, if you post, you know what I mean? I'll give you a 50% discount, you know, because I had good margins at my med spa to do that, you know? So it was a very different. So I would really say a lot of where we are today is because of those celebrity client relationships. I'm always somebody who's always believed in PR. And even though it's changed a lot, I always, from a very small company, you know, had a PR agency. I also did a lot of just stuff in the community. I went to a lot of expos. And I think those building those face-to-face relationships with consumers and me, as well as my employees, I think really did help us stick out. So, I mean, there's so many different things. We also did a ton of digital advertising before the iOS changes, where it was a lot cheaper to acquire a customer. And now everybody's struggling with marketing. Has changed. It's so hard and so expensive right now. It is just, it's learning to adapt. I think through the last 2 years, like, this environment is not for wussies. Between supply chain, the great resignation, COVID, iOS, like, if you can make it, I can't imagine it getting much worse than this.
Yeah. Well, you talked about PR too. I think that just really getting good at SEO and organic traffic, especially during times when it is more expensive, is absolutely critical, and really understanding organic traffic and understanding how you get that is super, super important. So what other advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs, maybe people who are thinking, okay, I've got a product, I should just go launch this company? I mean, what's kind of the thing that you, when you look back on, again, what you didn't know or what you've learned along the way, either way,
I got so much advice. Some of it's going to sound jaded. I think first and foremost, I think the grass is not always greener. And I think, like, happiness should be your number one priority. And I think so many people are desperate to be an entrepreneur, their own boss, that they're not they're not really accounting for, are they actually happy? Is, you know, like, maybe their job's not the number one most fulfilling thing, but is it offering a lot of work-life balance to spend time with your kids, or you don't feel a ton of pressure? Or, like, I just think it's really important to take stock of your life. And if you, for the most part, are happy, I think at the end of the day, like, when we die, it's going to be our moments with people, you know, that is really going to make us feel satisfied. So I think there's that. And then I think that there's just an element of, you know, just people. Like, for me, you can't be good at everything. And so really figuring out what your strengths or weaknesses are and finding the right complement to complement your weaknesses. And I also think we're part of this internet generation. I mean, you have to be careful what you read on the internet, but I taught myself so much. I read so many books, like, so many Google, just everything, you know, to teach yourself. I think that we're now like, people don't have excuses. Like, you can teach yourself damn near anything, you know? So I don't know. Those are just some of my advice to people.
No, I love that. What's next for the brand? I mean, what are you looking forward to?
We entered into the body category almost 3 years ago, and our body collection has had a lot of success, and body is having a bigger moment in beauty. And I think we have a point of differentiation with the hyperpigmentation angle. And so growing that, I think that there's a lot of opportunity there. Mm-hmm. And also global. I mean, I think of like, I really don't think that there's a lot of expansion in us from a distribution standpoint in the US, but I'll do lives or I'll do webinars, and it's amazing how many people tune in from Australia, Nigeria, you know, Jamaica, like all over the world. And so I would like to make my products more accessible globally to people.
That's awesome. Well, really, really great, Rachel. Thank you so much for sharing all about your journey. And we'll have all of the information about Urban Skin RX and you in the show notes. But thanks again. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my book, Undaunted, which I share my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And thanks everyone for listening. Have a great rest of the week and 2023, and goodbye for now. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.